It is a lovely Saturday, a bit breezy again, but we've gotten used to the wind. 80 degrees and rain on the way. Rain on the way, and we certainly do need it all across the state. Some fires on the North Shore causing concern, red flag warning for a big part of central Minnesota. So we'll keep an eye on that. But updated temp and still breezy. Dew point 33. Winds have died down at the moment. West at 7. We're down to 79 degrees. Showers likely through the day on Sunday. Showers and thunderstorms Sunday night into Monday. And then another bout of rain Monday night carrying over into Tuesday, and we really do need it. Steve Kearney joins us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Steve, good to visit with you. We mentioned rain coming in. We need it.
Yeah, Steve, good afternoon. Yeah, that's a good thing. I'm glad to see it. I hope it rains like crazy. We need it. Lakes are so low. But I'm telling you, this wind, man, it's... God, I feel bad for people that came up last weekend and just got hammered in that wind, and now it's same thing the second weekend, so it's been kind of a tough go. Fishing's been pretty good, actually, if you can handle the weather. I've been finding them earlier in the week in fairly shallow water, like 11 feet, walleyes and crappies, and this morning they were 16, 17 feet. I don't know why they moved deeper, but fishing has been good. You just got to be able to handle the wind.
Yeah, it has been crazy that way. Cool, dry, and windy day in and day out, and rain on the day. You mentioned it when we visited opening weekend that it was really tough. I hope you recovered okay after all of that.
Yeah, I felt like I went, 10 rounds with Muhammad Ali after Saturday and Sunday, but... It was, I think the participation was a little bit down. I really didn't see a lot of people. I think people just said, this is a little bit too much and kind of hung it up. And I just didn't see the traffic that I normally see on opener. But we got Memorial coming up, which is usually the peak of the really, really good fishing where it really takes off. And, the weed growth is a little bit retarded, which is good. It's not quite up the way it should be, but these crappies now are starting to stage on the edges of these weeds, as the walleyes are, and it's still a jig and minnow bite. I've been finding, when I've been cleaning these walleyes, they are so full of perch and little sunfish. I mean, they're just stuffed. I can't believe they even hit my bait. They'll have four or five minnows in their stomach, so they're heavily feeding. And but again, this is the time of year they're off the spawn. They're on the feed, and it's just, a great time, especially this is going to be good timing for Memorial for people, coming up or doing whatever they're doing. It should be excellent fishing almost statewide.
Yeah, and by the way, we get through this rainy couple of days, stormy couple of days, things are really going to quiet down, and by the end of the week, it looks like, at least here in the cities, temps in the 70s, I would assume 60s up north, and quiet. Which is always a good thing.
Yeah, the water temperatures have been holding kind of steady about 55, 56, which is really ideal. And, by Memorial, it might, kick up a little bit, 58, 60, again, which is prime time. And all these fish, Steve, are relating to shorelines, and almost every lake I've been on, they're really not on mid lake structure yet. They're all right along the break lines, right offshore. So if you can find a good steep bait, break line right along shore, working that 11 to 16, that's where the fish are. They're, they move up on top in the evening and early mornings and then slide off at the sides a little bit, during the day. But Wednesday was interesting. That was really a super nice day. No wind, high sun, and fishing was, a little bit more, difficult because of the conditions. So, it's just been an up-and-down deal. It's just crazy. I've never seen spring weather so neurotic the way it is this year, and it's made fishing a little bit more challenging. But I'm going to stick to these smaller lakes again, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago. A lot of those farm lakes in Polk County, Grant, right in the central part, up from Glenwood and Barrett and those areas, there's some really good fishing going on right now in those shallow lakes. And they're peaking a little bit earlier than the bigger water, which is very typical. And their water temperatures are almost 60. So, you stay south a little bit, central part of the state, I think you're still going to do well. And I think the North Country up here will really start going in probably a week or so, I would say.
Yeah, I would assume the big water, Leech, Winnie, et cetera, that'll be a bit.
Well, fishing's been pretty good up there on Winnie and Red as far as, the reports I've gotten, which is they're traditionally, do very well. And I know there were hundreds and hundreds of boats up there from the people I talked to up there. So they had a lot of people up there in that area. But, they had the same wind conditions we did. And, being on bigger water, boy, if you can tough it out, my hat's off to you, because it was about as tough conditions as you're ever going to get. Plus this northwest wind, Steve. I am not a fan of this northwest wind. It always means a change. And whenever I got to fight northwest winds, fishing is never as good. And we've had predominantly northwest winds. So give me a little bit of a gentle south wind, and that's really what you want. And east is okay, west is okay, but northwest is always, it always makes it more difficult. I think it's just because there's always some sort of change coming, some sort of mini front coming through. It always means, things are going to change.
Yeah. Steve, good luck this week. I would assume you're going to lay low with the rain and storms the next couple of days, and then hit it hard later in the week.
You know me well, Steve. You know me well. Yes, yeah. That's exactly right.
All right. Well, enjoy, and we look forward to visiting again throughout the summer.
All right. Sounds great, Steve. Have a great weekend.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Good enough to join us here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. And by the way, our outdoors coverage continues each and every Sunday with Rob Dreusline from the Outdoor News. He has a great show between 5 and 6, filled with guests and tons of great info. That is Rob in the Outdoor News, Sunday between 5 and 6, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. When we come back, the end of the line for the Wild in Colorado against the Avalanche. Heartbreaking loss. Where do the Wild go from here? Jez Myers will join us from the Pioneer Press here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. That's not good. That's not good at all. And not good at all that the Wild are done. Heartbreaking loss to the Avs. In Denver, season over. They had a 3-0 lead. Looked great. Looked like they were going to roll. Give up two goals late in regulation and the one in overtime. To sort it all out, Jez Myers from the Pioneer Press. He covers the Wild. Jez, good to visit with you. First of all, thanks for all your time this season.
Absolutely. It's been a lot of fun. And I was going to say, there's no way we have enough time to sort it all out. There's just so much to unpack there. But yeah, that was... talking off air with Lindsay, it was almost a good way for the season to end for the Wild, because maybe they'll have a little fire going into next season and think, we were that close. And I did read somebody who said for a series that was 4-1, man, it seemed a lot closer than that, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It felt closer than the Timberwolves, and the Timberwolves Spurs went 6.
Yep. It was interesting between the Wild and the Avalanche. Yeah, Colorado won 4 of the 5 games. The only blowout in the series was the Wild win when they put up 5 goals on Colorado and forced them to make a goalie change and all that. But just a heartbreaking way to end the season when it looked like, they had everything going their way. They were playing the way they wanted to play, especially in that first period. Building a 3-0 lead could have been a 4-0 lead if a goal doesn't get disallowed, but it was probably the right call. And then here's the real disappointing part. After that point, they had 7 shots on goal. The final 2 periods plus overtime, 7 shots. That's just not going to cut it, clearly.
Yeah, and there's a lot of criticism. A lot of people are saying Kirill Kaprizov is poised to make superstar money in this league. Certainly has put up big numbers. But in this series... sometimes was a non-factor.
Yeah, he didn't have a great series. He had a good series. Didn't have a great series. And then the other disturbing one, 5 games against Colorado, Matt Boldy had an empty net goal, and that was it. I mean, if those 2 guys aren't going, forget that you're missing Joel Eriksson Ek. Forget that you're missing Jonas Brodin. If those two guys aren't kind of driving the train for you, you're going to have problems.
Yeah. About goaltending, they lean on Jesper Wallstad heavily in the playoffs, but they still have Filip Gustavsson in the fold. I know we're looking ahead already quickly to next season, but goaltending certainly a big deal. Could one of those be elsewhere next season if Bill Guerin wants to add to the forwards group or the blue line?
I think absolutely he could move one of those two guys. Now, here's the dilemma that Bill Guerin is going to face. After what happened in the playoffs, any trade talks he gets into, they're going to say, okay, sure, but we want Jesper Wallstedt. And it's amazing, Steve, you think back 2 months ago, we were all prepared to lose Jesper Wallstedt at the trade deadline. You know, we have this young, hot goalie. You know, he might be worth something in trade. Everybody was fine with that. Now I think most Wild fans would say it's a disaster if we move Jesper Wallstedt just because he looks so good in the playoffs and looks like he's absolutely poised to take over the number one goalie spot.
Yeah, there's certainly has to be value in Gustavsson if you decide to move him.
Absolutely. And talking to Filip Gustavsson yesterday, he said two things that were interesting. Number one, well, maybe three things that are interesting. Number one, he said absolutely supportive of Jesper Wallstedt. You know, it wasn't too long ago that Filip Gustavsson was a young goalie coming out of Sweden, you know, trying to find his way. So there's a great kind of mentor-mentee relationship there. Second thing he said is, keep in mind, we're going to 84 games next year. They're adding two regular season games. There's no realistic way in the modern NHL that you can just plug one goalie into the net every night. Teams are going to need two goalies, and Filip Gustavsson is absolutely prepared to be part of that tandem. But then he also said, you know, I want to be a number one goalie. If there's a chance for me to play somewhere, I'm open to that as well. So it sounds like he's resigned to the fact that he could be on the trading block depending on how things go this summer.
Hey, another thing you and I had talked about a week ago, and it's obviously true and has been true, Joel Eriksson Ek, huge part of this. Not saying the series, the Wild win it and they advance to the Western Conference Finals, but huge loss, Jonas Brodin. I mean, those are two big injuries for the Wild.
Absolutely. And talking to both of them, you know, they kept saying they're day-to-day, you know, it's optimistic, we're trying to get them back on ice skating, all the right things. Both of them had broken bones, you know, and it wasn't going to be a quick fix. They weren't going to be back real quickly anytime soon. So it was, you know, it was maybe more serious than they were letting on, but now they've both got time to recover. But man, those are two just devastating losses when you think of the roles those two guys play on this team. Eriksson Ek taking faceoffs, killing penalties, you know, just all of that stuff he does in front of the net. And then Brodin is one of the better shutdown defensemen in all of the NHL. So to lose those two guys, that was definitely a factor in the series.
Jess Myers joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Covers the team for the Pioneer Press online at TwinCities.com. The team certainly pushed a lot of chips onto the table for this season. They did get out of the first round of the playoffs. They beat the Dallas Stars, number two seed in the Central Division, come up short against Colorado Avalanche, were competitive at times in the series, but nevertheless exit. I would assume the owner still wants to win. The general manager still wants to win badly. But there are challenges going into this offseason. Number one, Quinn Hughes and extend Quinn Hughes, plus adding to the team. It isn't going to be easy.
Yeah, and those are some tough decisions that are going to have to come up. You know, talking to some of the forwards on this team yesterday, Marcus Johansson is one of them. We don't know what his future is. You know, he was on a one-year deal. He could re-sign in Minnesota about possibly going back and finishing his career in Sweden. So we don't know what's going to happen there. Another one to keep an eye on is Nick Foligno. He also was on the last year of a one-year deal. You know, said we asked, you know, are you willing to take a pay cut if you want to stay here, keep playing with your brother, all of that. He said, number one, I got to live out my dream. I played with my brother in the playoffs. That was great. And then he said, I'm absolutely willing to take a pay cut. He said, I will take less than Kirill Kaprizov is making. I'm willing to go to just $16 million a year. So, you know, good sense of humor anyway.
just a little less than Kirill. You keep hearing another center. Easier said than done.
You know, that was one thing that really struck me in this series, and I'm that biased guy because he's from my hometown, but man, think of what Brock Nelson would have meant to this Wild team when there was all that talk about this time a year ago that they might go out and trade for him or they might sign him as a free agent. And man, you really see what that center depth does for a team like Colorado. You know, and Bill Guerin's not afraid to dream big. That's one thing I like about him. You know, he already pulled off the biggest trade in Wild history in bringing Quinn Hughes here. And yes, it's going to be a challenge to re-sign him, but Hughes said all the right things, that he likes to hear, that he's interested in talking about re-signing, all of that. We've also heard that, you know, Guerin's not afraid to maybe swing for the fences again this summer. We've heard Austin Matthews' name kicked around. We've heard, you know, some of the bigger names in the NHL that are going to be on potentially the trading block, that they might want to get involved in that as well. So this could be an exciting summer for the Wild.
Yeah, and there is no doubt this owner, Craig Leopold, wants to win, period. I mean, that he is committed to it. I know he wants to get some things done with the building and the entire complex in downtown St. Paul, but first and foremost, he is committed, and it's hard to argue with what the owner and what Bill Guerin have done to improve this roster.
You know, Craig Leopold is that kind of guy. This team was kind of stuck in the middle for years, you know, drafting in that 18 to 22 spot. They were never real bad. They were never real good. You know, kind of stuck in the middle. People would say, you know, maybe you have to tank for a year. Maybe you have to be just kind of lousy and get a high draft pick and all of that. And Craig Leopold has said flat out, I am never the kind of guy who's going to be willing to tank. That's just not in his nature. You know, he wants to go forward. He wants to push ahead. He wants to own most of downtown St. Paul from the way it looks. As you see, he bought the St. Paul Hotel this week. Yeah. So he's got some big plans for that facility and obviously for this team to go much deeper in the playoffs.
All right, Jess, well, always good to visit with you. What are your plans now? Season over? Are you going to take a break? What's on the agenda?
Well, instead of getting on a plane to go to Denver today for a Game 7, I went up to my cabin, and my son and my wife helped me. We get the dock put in, got the pontoon in, took a nice little pontoon ride. So I think it's the official start of summer now, right?
Yeah, enjoy. Jess, always great.
Didn't catch a fish yet, but I'll be catching a fish soon, I promise.
Yeah, as soon as those water temps jump, they'll be jumping right in the boat.
I think so, too. Thanks, Steve.
All right, Jess. Very good. There he is, Jez Myers, covers the Wild for the Pioneer Press and a to-do list. And I would assume, you know, they're going to double down. They've already put a lot of chips on the table. Quinn Hughes, a center, and load up and see if he can get on another run next year. They got out of the first round, ran into the Colorado Avalanche, but who knows? They have a very good group here. Right now, it is 4:29. We're going to take a break. Still much more to come on the program. Read and react. A little game we play, Lindsey Brown, Steve Thompson. We each come up with three questions. And it really can be on anything. Sports, pop culture, news, philosophical, whatever. We'll do that. Heather Rule joins us. We'll talk Frost. They get a raw deal in the PWHL playoffs, having a game postponed. We'll get into that with Heather. PWHL Finals, Ottawa and Montreal underway, playing game two today. Then we'll get you ready for the Twins and the Brewers. Border Battle weekend at Target Field. Lineup card at 5:30. Bobby Nightingale joins us from the Star Tribune at about 5:10. Here on News Talk, E3O-WCCO. It is a lovely Saturday, rain on the way. We do need the rain. Now, I'd prefer not to have a rainy Sunday in May. It would be great if it would just rain overnights during the week, and otherwise the days were sunny and the rain came between like 1 and 5 a.m. But looks like it could be a rainy one tomorrow and again on Monday. And that's going to be a challenge because weather challenges this time of year for the spring high school sports really start to be a problem. You got softball sections starting this week all over the state. Girls and boys lacrosse, regular season's winding down this week. Baseball winding down this week. Section play is going to begin there. Plus you have track and field. You have golf. Really the only sport that isn't impacted in the spring, boys volleyball. They're in the gym. And they're in good shape. So they will play as scheduled. Seen some boys volleyball this spring. Good game. Great game. Love girls volleyball in the fall, and I think boys volleyball is really going to take off. Some tremendous talent, and some kids new to the game doing a really good job. Let's get into it. It is time, and we don't have a fancy open. You know, I listen during the week and all the shows, and I get it. I get it why they have the Produce Opens. You did do one for Steve Kearney. And that's good, Lindsay.
I had it ready to go today, but then we had a little bit of a crosshair with the phone, and so maybe next week. But I do have intentions to make one for Read and React. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah, but typically, isn't there someone else that does those?
No.
You know, the big shows like Drive Time with DeRosha or the Chad Hartman Show or Adam and Jordana or the Morning News with Vanita. And I know... because I fill in on occasion for the Lake Show, Henry Lake, Chris Tubbs, that they have some really fancy opens.
Mm. So you're saying our voice isn't big enough? I can do big voice as well. Like, we can all find our inner show person.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, and like I say, I don't want to stick my neck out too far, you know?
We have good fun with the drops. That's what I do. I have a little audio drop from some random, like, Evil Larry is going to come get your toes, like, and then we move on to a banger. Like, it doesn't have to be fancy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah. And like I say, it gets back to, I don't want to put my neck, I don't want to be a complainer.
Mm.
I just want to know my role, and that is... Come in, do the thing, keep it out of the ditch.
We grind it out.
Yeah, just grind it out.
No mouth guards needed.
That's exactly right. All right, here's Read and React.
Read and React.
Quite simply, we each come up with three questions. Lindsay has no idea what I'm going to ask, vice versa. And Lindsay, why don't you start?
Okay. My microphone decided to go rogue. Steve, you arrive at a hotel. No sports or dependable movies are available to you. What channel or show do you turn on?
Oof. I don't watch regular primetime TV.
Sure.
I suppose I'm just seeking out an old movie. You know, there's comfort food and there's comfort films.
Okay, what's the comfort film?
Oh, yeah, it can run the gamut. It's something like the original Roadhouse is on.
Mm.
I'll stop there. Love that movie. Shawshank.
Amazing.
Probably the greatest feel-good comfort movie. If I'm really bummed out and really need a pick-me-up, it's that little Tom Hanks movie about the one-hit wonder band, The Wonders, That Thing You Do. I love that movie. It is a great... PG, feel-good movie, terrific cast, good music, That Thing You Do. I'm going to seek that out.
Okay. I like that. I like that answer.
But typically, and I'm going to just add this, I know it's a long answer and I apologize. When we travel, and I'm traveling with the family, invariably instead of, you know, beyond checking the Weather Channel, we will typically do Food Network. Now, we rarely watch Food Network at home, but at hotels on family trips, like our journey to Chicago later this summer, I'm sure Food Network will be on in the hotel as much as anything.
We love Iron Chef at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, too much Guy Fieri.
Yeah, that's true.
At times. You know, sometimes it's like I've had enough. Dives. Had enough of Guy. But yeah, pretty much though, if there's nothing on, I'll just scroll for a comfort movie.
Love it.
And just catch part of that. Anyway, all right, number one to you. What team's finale in the playoffs was more disappointing? Wild or Timberwolves?
Wolves. I actually love that the Wild lost the way that they did. Because this gives,
really?
I love it because this inspires like true demon time in the off season. I haven't mentioned it yet so far in this show, and so we're long overdue. You guys know that I lived in Vegas and covered the Golden Knights for a little bit. What happened the year they won the Stanley Cup? They missed the playoffs for the first time ever in their franchise history. Now, I'm not saying that they are on the same course, but I love when you're left with a sour taste in your mouth when it's something really important. And we've already talked. You talked to Jess about how many are returning and the different things you have in the offseason to take care of. The Wolves culture, to me, seems a little bit bigger of a project, and I think there are fewer answers already in the locker room. And I just getting blown out at home in that fashion, along with Anthony Edwards, just kind of be like, all right, I'm done. Like, I'm just like, this is the modern game. And so, and that's fine. And there's more than one way to win, to find your way to a championship, Steve. But one way is to lose the way the Wild did and then give everything you have in the off season and see what happens when the next season comes around. So I'm going to say the Wild are lesser disappointing.
Very good. Number two to you.
Number two. If you released a musical album, what would you name it?
Oh, boy. If it's my first album, I have no musical talent. My first album would probably be self-titled.
Or just Steve?
Yeah, maybe Steve. I would just call the album Steve.
I love it.
You know, I think about first albums, Van Halen, and, you know, Van Halen, you know, and then the whole Sammy Hagar chapter, but when I was a youngster, loved Van Halen, and I just think their first album, just titled Van Halen, pretty good stuff, some good tunes on there. Maybe it hasn't changed with the times like it should, but, Eddie was a talent. Certainly had his demons, but he was a talent. So, yeah, I'd probably just name it Steve.
Love it.
Number two to you. At this point in your life, is there a career you wish you had pursued?
Oh, my God. This is a nightmare now, question for me.
You got into the media.
I did.
I get that.
Yeah.
I got into the media. And I do think about that at times. What about you?
Oh, God. I mean, I still have this delusion, Steve, where I have so much life in front of me that truly anything is possible. And that is true. And
you're a kid.
I know. I'm a child at 34, and I want to keep it that way. But I got a lot in front of me. But my greatest fear will eventually happen where I'll wake up and more of my life is behind me than in front of me. And I know that people grapple with that every day, but that's just a really hard thing for me. I wish I were like a marine biologist. And it's not because I think I could actually do it, because science requires skills in math. And my brain just no like math.
Not a math.
Math
brain.
Bad. Math bad. You hold numbers in brain, it drops. It dropped the numbers. I can't even figure out how many apples and oranges Stacy and Tommy are bringing. I always have to loop back to the front of the question. There's like a lot of jobs that I think I would like to do that I think would be really, really hard for me to be able to do. So maybe I could just be a boat captain that takes the marine biologists out there, and then I can have my, my talks with the whales just on the side. I don't even have to collect any evidence or data. I don't have to worry about a hypothesis or proving anything, and I can just be along for the ride.
You could learn those skills.
I could become a boat captain or a first mate of sorts.
Oh, yeah.
I can drive a pontoon. I can drive inner tubers. What's the difference?
those are all important skills.
Yes, thank you.
That would certainly translate to a larger vessel.
I don't know if I don't know a larger vessel. I see what you did there. I think that's more niche than the media. So maybe I need to think a little bit bigger.
Well, to follow up on that, there's one thing I would love to be able to do beyond be able to go while I'm still able and walk the grounds at Augusta National. It's becoming more and more important to me to just be there and see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see really how hilly it is and walk Amen Corner, and then I'm good. Another one I really want to do is East Coast Port, and you can do this, and buy a spot, and you get some sort of little job on the ship, and ride like a freighter over to Europe. I would love to do that. So when you brought up, like, you know, boat, first mate, that sort of thing,
yeah.
I would really like to do that. No, I'm not saying that I would like to be, you know, full-time crew on an ocean-going ship, but I'd love to give it a shot. Or maybe board in Duluth, go through the Seaway, head to Europe with a load of grain, and then fly home. Love to do that.
Head to Europe with a load of grain.
That's right. All right, so where are we at?
You ask, I ask you my last question.
All right, number three.
Okay, number three, this is inspired by the very random news from one of my best friends and former teammates, Sarah G. She got randomly married yesterday, told no one. So congratulations to her and her husband, Dominic.
Randomly married.
Randomly married. They went down to City Hall. I'm sure there was a little bit more planning involved in that, but I know that
Dominic. But it appears random to you.
Yeah, random to me. And I know Dominic is good people because we went to school with him too, but for some reason, people who are close in my life end up choosing their life partners who have the same birthday as I do, and Dominic has my birthday. So, like, it's meant for the long term. I guess I'll have to share. It just means that I have to spend a lot more birthdays without some of my closest friends, which is fine. But with that in mind, what was the best wedding gift you received?
Oh, wow. It's been a long time.
Congrats.
I don't even want to admit. How old are you?
I'm 34.
It's been longer than that.
Okay. Congratulations.
Yeah. It's I think it'll be 37 this fall.
The Brad Marchand year. Nice.
37. Anyway. Wow. Nothing really stands out, but I believe that this is going to sound crazy, and my wife has demanded we throw these towels out. I still think we have some original wedding washcloths and towels. I kid you not, that are still in service.
My goodness,
that we got as wedding gifts. They're a bit threadbare, but. Aren't old towels better anyway?
I would think so. They don't make them like they used to.
Yeah, it's like the stoneware set. We still have it. We rarely use it. It's really cool. It's white with kind of black lines through it. It's really a cool pattern. Love it, but rarely ever use that stuff. I think all the other wedding gifts are long gone. So, yeah, maybe those towels that have stood the test of time. Those are good
nice.
Towels.
All right, you have one more question for me, I believe.
All right, final one, number three. This is a little bit commercial, but I think it's okay. Do you have a dream vehicle that if money was not an object, payments were not an object, that Lindsey Brown would love to tool around town in?
Ooh, it used to be like a tricked out purple Jeep. But then my first car was a Jeep, but it was not purple, and it like the steering wheel locked up on me while I was going 65 miles an hour on Highway 100.
Good.
That was not good. Ooh, that's such a good question. I used to really like those fancy G-Wagons, like what I saw Chad Michael Murray drive in that movie that he was with Hilary Duff, where it was like a Cinderella story. I wanted that G-Wagon. That's what I wanted. But I don't want that anymore in real life, because if you drive a G-Wagon, come on. Come on.
Yeah.
And so I have a Chevy Trailblazer right now. I'm very happy with her. Yeah, or maybe I would just like one of those two-door Barbie Jeeps. Like, that's just sun or wind in the hair. It needs to have, like, a really good sound system. I'm a huge music in the car
person. So you want to go back to the Jeep.
Maybe I do want to go back to the Jeep. I want the Jeep that has barely any metal around it that I wouldn't win very many battles with on the road. But I would at least have fun.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
So, well, you know what? You know what they say? A lot of owner loyalty with Jeeps.
Don't you have to have like something on the dashboard that like on your Jeep?
Isn't
that
ducks,
it's a duck. Okay. All right. You already know it. It's a whole language. I don't know if I want to join that club.
Rubber ducks. And I think you have to wave to other Jeep owners.
Yes.
There's a whole code.
Yeah. There's a whole code.
It's too complicated for me. That was one thing when I moved to a small town. I didn't know this. You know, I was born in St. Paul, grew up in the suburbs. And my first radio job was in a small town in western Minnesota. And I didn't get this, but everybody, even in town, was waving. Have you ever lived anywhere where people just wave out of the blue?
I mean, I drive down my street, I always give like the little head nod or the wave to the people
around
the
street. Well, sure, but that's the neighbors, people you're somewhat familiar with. This is just random in town, driving to the store, people would wave. And at first, I didn't wave back, but then one of my buddies at the bar said, oh, no, you got to wave or people are going to think you're a jerk. So then I got into the habit. But the problem is, when I come back to the cities, I was in the habit of waving at everybody, and that doesn't work in the cities, waving at random people on the road.
Too friendly.
So, yeah, too friendly. Minnesota Nice has its boundaries. 10 minutes now in front of 5. Quick break. We'll come back. Bobby Nightingale follows the news and weather at 5. Twins and Brewers tonight here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. PWHL Finals. Montreal beat Ottawa 3-2 in Game 1. Game 2 underway. And at last check, it was 1-1 in the second. Let's see if we can get the PWHL scoreboard to update here. And another final in OT, Montreal, 2-1. So they're a game away from winning it all. They will be in Ottawa Monday and Wednesday. If Ottawa is able to win both those games, it would force a Game 5 back in Montreal next Saturday. So Montreal, I got to ask you this, Lindsay. When they postponed the game due to illness on the Montreal team, I thought that was kind of a bad look.
I was like, what the hell? I was like, what are we doing? The only way, and I still don't know, and maybe we'll know in the offseason, things will trickle out. The only way that this made sense to me is if, like, the entire goalie room for either team couldn't put, because, like, all three of them were sick. I'm like, otherwise, I can't think of an instance where that would be a problem. And then we heard some rumors that it was only a handful of players on the Montreal team, not enough where they couldn't field the team. And so you can get all the conspiracy theories and everything going.
Right.
But Montreal's a very good squad, and the Walter Cup is decided by overtimes. That's pretty much, I think the graphic I saw earlier is like the fifth or sixth game straight that has been decided by overtime. And it was obviously a very close series with the Frost, too. And so I can't tell you why. I have no reasoning. I have no like history or recollection of anything else like that happening besides what we experienced during COVID. And so, I mean, even they had to put out like, it's not hantavirus, we promise. Like, the people are running wild with it. Yeah. It's bizarre, to say the least.
Yeah, I was just a little surprised because we've so rarely seen that in sports or something like that. And the argument was made, they still had enough players.
Correct.
That, you know, maybe don't dress.
Correct.
And don't play that are on the roster but don't suit up. You know, typically, what, 12 forward, 6 on the blue line, 2 goalies dress.
Right. But this is what 20. You get when a league is not, the teams are not owned by an individual owners where it's an entire,
it is a
conglomerate. And so they wanted the best product on the ice, and so they found a way to put it out there.
Yeah, and even though it didn't work out, good run by the Frost, but I just think curious, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I thought that right away. It is.
That's the only way it works.
League that owns the teams. If it was individual owners, individual owner of the Frost would say, nope.
Correct.
This is not happening.
This is not a normal competitive environment. This is not equal opportunity, people.
And I would assume at some point that that is going to change and they're going to bring owners in to run these franchises. Quick break. News and weather at 5 in a moment.